Grace to you and peace be yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Grant me a double share of your spirit, Elisha asked. You've asked a hard thing, his teacher, Elijah, responded. Elijah would know. Elijah was one of Israel's great prophets, a man of miracles. Among his many wonders, he had once called down fire from heaven. But prophets are not popular, and along with all his miracles, his preaching and his teaching, by the time Elijah was taken up into heaven, he was the one who was burnt out, having been persecuted and chased, having sensed that he was the only one who still remembered God, though God knew otherwise. What would a double share of his spirit mean? A double share of his courage? A double share of his miracles? Twice the deeds of power. Preaching to reach twice the people. But perhaps also twice the persecution, twice the opposition, a double share of the moments of running into the wilderness. Double the spirit is double the trouble. You've asked a hard thing, Elijah said to his student. But if you see me taken from you, then it will be granted. Now you just heard Judy read the story to us, and so you know that Elisha did in fact see Elijah taken up in a whirlwind by a chariot of fire. And so we should assume, though the story does not continue beyond that fire-filled moment, we should assume that Elisha did in fact inherit a double share of Elijah's spirit, which was never really Elijah's spirit, any own spirit anyway, but which came straight from God. And indeed, if you read on in 2 Kings, you'll discover that Elisha was in many ways greater than his teacher. He did more miracles with more power, healed more people. By the end of his career, his resume is longer than his professor's, and in many ways more interesting. If the kingdom of God, if record of service to God, were a performance and a reward system, Elisha, not Elijah, would be the first ballot entry in the Prophecy Hall of Fame. But strangely, the tradition remembers the teacher and not the more successful student. When the later prophet Malachi foretold future judgment, he said that a prophet like Elijah would return. When John the Baptist fastened his belt around his coat of camel's hair, he did so in the spirit of Elijah. And when people looked at Jesus and wondered who he was, gossiping among themselves about who people said that he was, no one ever thought that he might be Elisha. Always Elijah. On the mountain, when Jesus was transfigured in glory and he talked with the great heroes of his people's past, it was Moses and Elijah that he saw, and not the student. The leadership transfer of power that we see in 2 Kings this morning went according to the world. We would have said that it would be, have been a transfer of honor. If the glory of God were a performance and reward system, we would have to say that there's some problem with God's management style. For here, Elisha, separated from his master, only it seems in the scripture by just a letter, a syllable, a sh, rather than a j. Elijah does twice the work and gets half the credit. A double share of the spirit with less than half the recognition. It's almost as if this story is here to tell us that God's way is not to give awards for jobs well done. As if to remind us that God's glory is not a prize for services performed, but rather that fiery gift of glory is instead a commission for service yet to be done. And so Elijah sees the chariot of fire and feels the whirlwind that takes his master. When the two of them are alone, away from all the eyes of their co-workers and their friends, the company of prophets that meet them everywhere they go, and he is sent back to retrace his steps and do his ministry with no honor but the promise of a God who would give him the Spirit. Every Transfiguration Sunday, the church remembers that our God is glorious. We celebrate God's glory on this Sunday every year when we hear the story about Jesus on the mountaintop and other similar stories about how God showed up with light and fire. It is good that God is beautiful and transcendent. It is good to remember that God is powerful. We pray, too, that we might see something of it. A little fire and a little whirlwind to cut the boredom and give us the strength that we need to get through our days. I especially think that's true these days. As we take more steps through this pandemic, a dose of glory might just be the ticket. Something that to remind us that God sees all that we've been doing, all that we've been, that God sees all of our good deeds, that our talents, unlike our bodies, are not quarantined away in hiding. Maybe we might pray for something more than even just one dose of glory. How about a double dose? A double share of the Spirit. That would do. Oh. But alas, even here on the mountain with Jesus, God's glory doesn't work that way. The same glory that commissioned Elisha, that transferred leadership, which was a transfer of service and not of honor, the same commission that went to Elisha comes here to us on the mountain. In Mark, the story of the transfiguration happens nearly at the dead center of the gospel. Right before Jesus and his disciples go up the mountain, Jesus tells them that if they want to follow him, they will have to take up their cross. When he goes down the mountain, he will embark on that journey himself. Which I believe is why he tells Peter and James and John not to tell anybody about what they've seen, not to tell anyone about Moses and Elijah, not to tell anyone about the dazzling white clothes such as no one could bleach, not to tell anyone about the cloud and the voice. Don't you say a thing, he says, until you've seen the Son of Man raised from the dead. Why? Because you have to know that the glory you have witnessed is not the transcendent thing that we might imagine in the spirit of reward and recognition and the world's ways of power. The glory that you have seen is power for service. The glory that you have seen is energy for ministry. It is in the unfolding story of Jesus' passion, which the church will retrace in Lent the next 6 weeks, as we always do. It is the glory that pursues truth even when surrounded by lies. It is the glory that pursues forgiveness even when vengeance would make more sense. It is the glory that pursues life, not on the world's terms, but on God's terms. Life granted to sinners, life granted to the helpless, life granted to the marginalized, life granted to people who are poor, life granted to those who know that they have no ability to claim the world's honor, but who are graced to receive the glory and the love of God. God's glory leads, in other words, straight to a cross, which is not a prize for work done, but strength for work to be done. The glory of God carries away our desire for recognition in a whirlwind and replaces it instead with a desire to serve, which is what Elijah did and Elisha after him. And it can be very hard, which is why Elijah knew that to have a double share of the Spirit would be a difficult thing. I know a man who had a top position in a company that he once worked for. He lived in a great city and was able to travel extensively on the company dime. He sat on a lot of boards and was able to make the future of those who came into the organization new. The position demanded that he dress his best and gave him the salary to afford it, and he was extraordinarily good at what he did. Managing people, nurturing talent, resolving conflicts, he kept the organization focused on its mission. But then one day, he felt the call to do something, well, smaller, at least on the world's terms. Giving up his head honcho role to work in a small firm in a small town, helping troubled people resolve their conflicts. When he resigned, tongues wagged, they assumed there must be trouble, that there must have been a hidden scandal forcing the change, embezzlement maybe. But when no reports of misconduct emerged, the wagging tongues turned to wonder. How amazing that someone would give all of that up to work with those people in that backwater place. But the man wears a cross around his neck under his shirt, the same sign that was traced on his forehead in baptism, when he was given a share of the Holy Spirit that lived in Jesus' own ministry. The Holy Spirit's power and energy is infinite. You could ask for a double share, but you cannot double infinity. But you might say that he received all that Jesus had. With the cross, he has been signed as Jesus' heir, signed for a life of service. He wears the cross as a memory that a life of service was not his original idea. Like Elisha, he does a lot of good work. But just as Elisha's master received all the credit, so does his. Amen.